this morning, saints. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And he is Lord, isn't he?
Amen.
This morning, and he always will be. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or what we think, he will remain Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. Shall we just open with a word of prayer this morning? Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord. Through, Lord, your precious blood, Lord, before your throne of grace, Lord, this morning, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, if there's needs in this congregation this morning, Lord, whether it's healing, Lord, whether it's a touch in our soul, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would come by your sweet Holy Spirit and meet the need this morning, Lord, and minister to our hearts, Lord, through your word, Lord, and anoint our ears to hear, Lord, that what you might speak to us, Lord, and our lips to praise and worship you, Lord, for you're worthy, Lord, of all glory and all praise and all worship this morning. Lord, and we just pray for those that might be away, Lord, and for those that listen in their time of listening on the internet and things like that, Lord, we pray a blessing upon them as well. May you be their portion at their time of listening. Commit all things into your hands at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shall we just stand and sing? What a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, amen. Oh, what a tender compassion.
Thank you.
could sing, "There's a river of life flowing out of me."
There's a river of life flowing out of me.
Looking forward to that time?
I could say I really am looking forward to it. Even the most enjoyable things down here are marred with, what can you say, things of this earth, I suppose. Praise the Lord, there's coming a day. That day will be soon. Let's sing, God said, set my people free.
God said, set my people free.
Something I just realized about the song. Do you know who said, set my people free? It was God that said, set my people free. It wasn't a question. Will you set my people free? It was a definite commandment. Set my people free. Pharaoh might have pushed against it, but there was no way that was going to be held back. Praise the Lord. Let's sing, it was early in the morning. 298.
It was early in the morning by an ancient wayside well. Early Jesus stopped to rest his camel train. He had found a bridal rising, he had found a bankrupt, and his weary journey had not been in vain. So going to be a wedding, a joyful souvenir.
Any others? Okay, we'll just sing number 307, He's the Lord of Glory, and then we'll.
Behold, what manner of man is this who stands between God and man? His eyes are a flame of fire, his hands in his hand. John's sword with the seven churches as the sun in its brilliancy. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout the eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who speaks to the lame and the whole? Behold, thy sins are forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. He sends as the mighty.
You may be seated at this time. Thank you, Missy. Brother Keith, what if you wouldn't mind?
Good morning. That song's called Something Beautiful. I don't know if that's how it's meant to be, but I'm just going to sing it how I do it. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, you understood. All I had to offer brokenness and strife, He made something beautiful out of my life. Something beautiful. Sadness.
Very nice. Thank you, Missy. You know, and it's just by, what else can we do but commit ourselves into the hands of our God each and every single day, that he would do exactly that for us, make something beautiful out of our lives. But not only ours, but those around us. Amen? We don't want it just for ourselves, but those who we come into contact, our families. I'm just going to read out a few of these prayer requests. We've just got one from Sister Shirley. She has shingles at this time, so we're just going to remember her in prayer. We've just got one here from David Mongolia for a request for his father's eyes, times he's not seeing well. So we'll just remember him. We'll just remember, there's one here from Pastor Nelson, who's just said that the Zambian government has reopening the schools on the 1st of February, regardless of the floods and high number of deaths of COVID increasing in our country. We need our prayers, God's protection hand to be upon our children while they be there at girls' boarding school. With love and respect, and that's from Pastor Nelson. And he's got one from Brother Moses here, who's got a list of people that need a touch from the Lord. I'll just keep those before the Lord. And one here for Crystal, whose grandfather is in dire straits. I believe he's about to pass away. That the Lord would undertake and give him a chance to know him, to come before him, to receive his salvation, but also to put things right. There's nothing, I'd imagine, coming to the end of your life and being full of regret and things that you need to put right and you know to put right, but that the Lord would be merciful to him and give him that opportunity to set things right. And we'll just remember to uphold Israel before the Lord, and we certainly thank the Lord for many answered prayers. Is there any others spoken or unspoken this morning? Any unspoken prayer requests signified by a raised hand? Anybody need a touch? Anybody need healing? Anybody need an adjustment in the soul? Praise the Lord. Our Lord can do that for us. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, Lord. Lord, through your precious blood, Lord, looking to the cross of Calvary, Lord, that finished work, Lord, and we bring these requests before you, Lord. Many needs of healing, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your healing hand would be upon these, Lord. Sister Shirley, Lord, because we know her, Lord, we see her. We know her by face, Lord Jesus, so we just come before you, Lord, and pray that you would be her healer this morning, Lord Jesus, for you said on Calvary, Lord, is finished. Lord, so we just pray that you would be, Lord, we're there with her at this time, Lord, and heal her body, Lord. Give her strength, Lord Jesus, to press through, Lord, and bring her back to us, Lord, to be seated, Lord, in the church itself, Lord, and we commit her into your hands at this time, and for protection, Lord, from these diseases, Lord Jesus. Brother Nelson has requested, Lord, that we pray, Lord, for the young children, Lord, who go to school, Lord Jesus, that your guardian angel, Lord, would be camped around them, Lord, and protect them, Lord. So we just commit those kids into your hands at this time, Lord. And, Lord, the many others, Lord, the unspoken prayer requests on each heart, Lord. Lord, sometimes we have the wrong attitude, Lord. We come before you with the wrong attitude, Lord, and Lord, we have wrong attitudes toward others, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you would step in and adjust it, Lord Jesus. Lord, be, Lord, the first point, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that we would look to. Lord, may you be the captain and the pilot, Lord, of our souls, Lord, and our spirits, we pray as well, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, and we commit all things into your hands, Lord, saying thank you for answered prayer, Lord, for the many answered prayers. We commit all things into your hands at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's sing, we'll just sing one more and then I'll pass it over to Brother Howard. Let's sing number 309, This World Is Not My Home.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing. Amen. just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. And saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sinners praise drift back from heaven. Ain't I fine?
Maybe sit at the start. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. This is not my home. I'm planning to get out of here. Who'd want to stay here? We want the Lord to come. Take us to glory. And He will. And it's getting very close, brother and sister. Very, very close. So we just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. We thank You for being here and just pray God will bless all those that are not here. I'm not sure where Brother Lee and Barbara are, but maybe they said they're going away. I don't remember. But, sorry? A bit late coming. Oh, that's all right. I guess you're allowed to be a little bit late. God bless to Brother Nelson in Zambia, pastor there with a quite nice little church. They have it in a marquee. They love the Lord with all their heart. And they enter into the service every week. And He's already sent that prayer request for His daughters, lovely young ladies who sing beautifully. And that when they go to school, they'll be fine. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. They won't be touched by any demon of COVID, because that's what it is, the devil. And we are not subject to these things. We're covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. Thank You, Lord. So I was thinking of that scripture. It keeps coming back to me. And it was the one that says, be still and know that I am God. We sang it at the prayer meeting. It's a lovely song. And there's two things to this, to that scripture. Be still. Get alone with God. Get all the junk out of your mind. Get the cell phones out of your mind. Everything else. Be still and settled. And let God reveal to you that He is God. Now, brother and sister, that is an experience that God can give you. Be still and know that He is God, because He reveals Himself to us. So I've just been really blessed thinking about that. You know, a scripture gets to my mind, just stuck there, and I just keep quoting it and praising God. So it's really good to have Brother Charlie back with us. Brother Charlie and Brother Reef, God bless you. Trust your mission was successful. They've been up the coast witnessing and praise God with Brother Bill and them. And we just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. So we just have a little sermon here this morning, which I pray will be a blessing to you. And I pray the Holy Spirit will bring it out the way He gave it to me. It's one thing to write notes and things, but really you need the anointing of God to bring it out correctly. And I pray that He'll bless us. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from John 13, Verse 34. So, Lord Jesus speaking to us, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. May God bless that to us. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you will bless it to us, Lord. It's not just the words, the word of God, which is very precious, but we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the word of God, that you'll break it to our hearts and make it live in our hearts. Quicken thy word to us, Lord. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Bless each one here. Bless those that are listening afar. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have another scripture I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, which says, "And they overcame him," that's the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." You know, brother and sister, I was really blessed to think upon these things. And I've just entitled this thought this morning, "The Most Powerful Testimony." I wonder what you would think would be the most powerful testimony. And I just pray that God will make that real to us. A powerful testimony is very effective in lives of people. Your testimony is far more powerful than your words are. Your testimony carries power. And we see from the reading, you know, that the Bible says that the enemy is overcome by the word of their testimony. And we are in need of powerful testimonies today. I really believe that. Preaching is good. Singing to God is wonderful. But a powerful testimony from an individual, nobody can dispute. Nobody can dispute a powerful testimony from a person that experienced it. So we see it's a wonderful thing. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. Nobody can give your testimony. There's nobody can give your testimony but you. No one. Tony Ann, you're the only one that can give your testimony. No one else can. You know why? Because you were there when it happened. You are a first-hand testimony of what happened. So I've been thinking about this, the most powerful testimony. Why you were there when it happened? It's because God came to you. And that's why we call them personal testimonies. I want to hear personal testimonies. Now, I love to hear testimonies of other people. Really do. It's a great encouragement. But when it comes from the person themselves, that's another matter. In fact, over in Adelaide, Australia, there's two young ladies. I'm not sure their names. But they are in their 20s, young girls, really in the world, puffing on cigarettes 20 a day. Now listen to this. They felt they wanted to go to Sydney, so they went to Sydney, these girls. And when they got to Sydney, they heard this music on the streets. They went up there and there's a man preaching the gospel. And when they heard the gospel, they were convicted in their hearts. And they gave their life to Christ and went to the brother's church and were blessed. And then through their job, they're both childcare people in the home, like Tina does. And they went in their job to Adelaide. And they looked up on the internet where to go to church. Because I believe every Christian should be in fellowship. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you're making a rod for your own back. And anyway, they're looking there and they saw the Adelaide Christian Fellowship. They said, that sounds good. We'll go along and see how it goes. So they've been to a few churches. The minute they walked into Brother Brian Freeborn's church, and the saints there, my son and daughter are there too. My daughter plays the piano. They felt something. They said, we like this place. It's simple. And when they heard the word of God, they were tremendously blessed. And they started to testify. I'm talking about a personal testimony. These girls, as I said to you, were in the world. And when they started to smoke those cigarettes, they said, ah, this is dirty. Who told them? The Holy Ghost told them. They put those cigarettes away. They went into their wardrobe and they said there were thousands of dollars worth of clothing that they felt was unclean. They should not be wearing them. Who told them? The Holy Ghost told them how to dress correctly. Oh, I love a testimony that comes from God. Brothers and sisters, when the testimony comes from the Holy Spirit, it comes from the inside out of you. You don't have to be preached at, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. When the Holy Spirit has come, He is the teacher and He'll teach you how to walk and live. Who believes that? Say amen. So that was a great testimony to hear that, and I've been very blessed in thinking upon this. Nobody went and preached to them except for the brother on the corner in Sydney. They got saved, and then the Spirit of God started moving in their life. Get rid of those things. Get rid of that. Don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Isn't God wonderful? When the Holy Spirit comes in, a holy life comes out of you. You don't have to be polished up. God cleans you. The word of sanctification is very important. You get it from His word. His word cleans you. The washing of the water by the word of God. Now these two sisters, Brother Brian's going to ask them, and I'm really looking forward to this, to testify. They're going to come to the front of the church and they're going to personally testify, because a personal testimony is very powerful. And they're going to testify exactly what happened. Maybe I said it a bit wrong. Maybe I didn't emphasize some things or overemphasize. I don't know. But they're going to give their personal testimony. And it's going to be recorded on the Sunday service. And it's going to go around the world on the internet. And it's going to come here. And we're going to play it on our screen for you to see. And that's going to go out to all our contacts around the world. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we want a living, powerful testimony. Not doctrine and theory and all this is right and that's wrong. We want to see the life of Christ. Who wants to see the life of Christ? I want to see it in me, living out of me and out of you. Hallelujah. So it's really a tremendous thing, a personal testimony. All testimonies are great and encouragements. But the greatest of these is to see the love of God in somebody. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, that's love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. Give me love any day, saints. If I don't know anything, I want to have the love of God in my heart. You know, I don't want to have my doctrine all perfect, but my heart not right. I'd rather have a right heart and my doctrine wrong than have all my doctrine perfect and my heart not right. Who believes that? May God grant that to us. So, what is the greatest testimony? Is to see somebody healed in their body, or a wretched, evil person transformed into a loving, clean Christian. I know what's best. Now, let me say this. Somebody healed is indeed very wonderful. I'm not downing that. I'm just saying the most powerful testimony is to see a change life is the greatest of all. In fact, it's a glorious thing. Hallelujah. You know, just hearing them about those two sisters over in Adelaide, I've just been thrilled all week just thinking about it. And Brother Brian has too, and the church over there has been rejuvenated. These girls were transformed by the power of Almighty God. It cleaned up their lives. No preacher. It took it the Holy Spirit to come and do it. And I'm not against preachers preaching it. But when the Holy Ghost comes and reveals the truth, he'll guide you into all truth, what to do, how to speak, how to live, as he said, how to dress, and all those horrible habits of cigarette smoking or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit dealt with it. Because he's clean. Who believes he's clean? And if he comes into you, he'll make you clean. So we look forward to seeing that testimony. Praise the Lord. Now this church cannot change anybody. Get this really clear. You people out there. This church cannot change anybody. Nor can the preacher change anybody. It takes the Spirit of the living God to change you. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the moving of the Holy Ghost in your heart that changes you. It makes you a new creature. It's not being religious. Or I do this now, I go to church and all. That's lovely. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Spirit of God changing you, making you a brand new creature, a new desire, a new heart, and the love of God flooding your heart for everybody. Hallelujah. So this church cannot do it. Neither preachers, but the Spirit of God can. I love this one here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, like those sisters were. That's how they were. 26 fags a day. You know, brother and sister, you try and stop a person smoking. You cannot do it. They try very hard. Sometimes people really try with their minds and all that. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, you know, my auntie, your mother, she used to smoke all the time, Auntie Patty. Anyway, we're down the prayer meeting one night there, praying in the church, praying that God will set her free. She wasn't even there. And she couldn't stop smoking. And we all prayed that God had set her free. I believe in prayer. Who believes in prayer? When you ask in the name of the Lord, you shall receive. Not maybe, you will receive it. So she got up the next day and she lit a fag, a cigarette. And she started smoking. She said, ah! I said, what was it, sister? She said, my cigarette tasted like a wet mattress. And she was healed. That evil spirit left her. Were you praying for us? Yes, we were. We were praying at the prayer meeting. So that's why we have prayer requests. That's why we have a prayer meeting, is to pray and ask God to set people free. And if you have a need, God can set you free this morning. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Yes. Just so wonderful. So we see this one here, that they were unalienated. Verse 21 of Colossians 1. And you who were sometimes alienated, separated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he, the Lord Jesus, reconciled in the body of his flesh through death at Calvary. He he stripped Satan of all his authority. We have power in Jesus Christ. He defeated sin. He defeated the flesh. And he defeated the world. And to present you holy and unblameable. This is what God does. When he gets a hold of you and there's a life-changing experience, he presents you holy. Wonderful, Brother Key. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Who knows what unreprovable means? Cannot be corrected. That's exactly what unreprovable means. He presents you in such a state under the blood of Jesus Christ and the cleansing power of Calvary that you are perfect in his sight. He has made us clean and perfect. That's why we need to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Who feels that way? I do. So, that is a powerful testimony. And Jesus Christ did it through the power of Calvary. That's where it all happens. And the only way to be changed is not just coming to church. You should. It's not just hearing a good preacher. You should. And singing and all. That's all good. But it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, down on your knees, and does a cleansing work and cleans you up and makes you obedient to his word. If you love him, you'll keep his word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. You all know that is the truth. We know that. So this powerful testimony comes through Christ alone. God, who is rich in mercy, has arranged your testimony. He's arranged all this. Why did he arrange your testimony? And when did he arrange your testimony? You know when he arranged your testimony? Not just a few months ago. Before the foundation of the world he did. That's what he said. Not what I see, what he said. Listen to this. In John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, Jesus said. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, fruit is not apples and oranges. Fruit is the life of Jesus Christ being manifested in your life. That's what does it. You have ordained that to happen. And he goes on to say, that your fruit should remain. I love this. We don't want fruit that grows and then falls off. Imagine if you had a lovely apple tree and you go out there and it's beautiful apples on it. Just so wonderful. Oh, this is great. I love these apples. They're so beautiful and ripe. And then the next day you go out and there's no fruit. What would you think of that tree? I'd dig it up. Because that's what Jesus did when he found no figs. He cursed it. You know, brother and sister, you wouldn't want that to happen to your apple tree, and neither does God want that to happen in your life. He doesn't want you to be a real Christian one day, on fire for God, a real testimony, a powerful testimony, and the next week it's gone flat. That's not what he said. He said, and that your fruit, the life of Christ, should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So there's power in a good testimony. He'll do it for you. Who believes God keeps his word? When you ask in the name of Jesus, he will do it. These things I command you, that you should love one another. See how he tacks it on there? It's governed by the love of God in your heart, for him and for the brethren. So Jesus has ordained that our testimony be seen. So what is the testimony? Fruit. The life of Christ manifesting in your life. When people down at the workplace see you, they don't listen to your sermon. They read your life. They're watching your life every time. Your reaction, the one things you like to, oh, I like doing that. Acting like the world. We are saints of heaven. We are children of God. We don't go chasing the world. We're not interested. We are heavenly beings. Hallelujah. And we want to live in the holy presence of Almighty God. So wonderful. I just love it. Christ living in us comes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's only one way to be manifested in you. The life of Christ to come out of you, you don't learn how to be a good Christian. You do not do that. You'll forget. Oh, I wasn't meant to swear. It's ridiculous. To have the life of Christ in you, he's got to come out of you. He has to be in you. He is the vine, we are the branches. That's what Jesus said. He is the vine, we are the branches. Where do you find the fruit? On the branch. The manifestation of the life of Christ has got to be in you and showing out of you branches. But you've got to be in Christ and you've got to be filled with the Spirit. The life's got to be traveling from the vine out into the branches. And when they saw the disciples, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And when you're with Jesus and he lives in you and walks in you, you'll act like Christ. Hallelujah. And you'll do the works that Christ did. We don't want a wishy-washy experience. Some people have religion. Others have life. I want life. Who wants life? Oh, God, grant it to us. So Jesus never stopped there. He said that this fruit should remain. He wants to see a group of believers with life in them today and life in them next year. Hallelujah. He said he'll put that fruit in you. And that fruit should remain in you. Not a 5-minute wonder. Oh, people, I've seen them. Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them come down the altar. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to serve Jesus for the rest of my life and tears running down their cheeks. And they mean it. But next month, you can't even find them. They're gone. I don't want that sort of experience. Honestly, I don't. I want to be living a living life of the Lord Jesus. Who wants that? You want it with all your heart, you could have it. He's given it to everyone that believes. You must believe and accept him and repent of your sins and ask God to cleanse you and make you clean from the inside to the outside. So wonderful. Blessed be his holy name. You know, when God sets you free, you're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's put that up there, Nancy. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When God casts a devil out of you, it's cast out. And you keep it out by waiting on God and being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Philippians, I love the definiteness of the work of God. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, like those two sisters, God started a work in them. They're smoking cigarettes every day, dressing immorally. The clothing they shouldn't be wearing. You know, brother and sister, we've got to be very careful how we dress because that's a reflection of the life. And God's made it very clear how to dress. And anyway, God started doing a work in them. No one was telling them. They said, oh, we can't wear this. This is unclean. We can't smoke these cigarettes. It's dirty. The Holy, Holy Spirit shows you. When you're a child of God, you're willing to do it. Doesn't matter what it costs. I'm finished with this double life. I want to be a saint filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My, it's not a 5-minute wonder testimony. People getting up and all changed and made anew. And they mean it, but they don't go all the way. Like we said, they don't go all the way. They come close to the gate. They feel the presence of God. They want to be saved, but they don't want to separate. They don't want to separate to what God's Word says. It's what God's Word says, not what Howard Searle says or anyone else says. It's what God's Word says. If He says something, you need to do it. If you're a child of God, you want to do it because you love Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praise be to God. And God, when He starts a work in you, it's a complete work. He doesn't leave you hanging halfway. I believe that. Who believes that? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. This is what we're very confident about. That He which hath begun a good work in you, that's the Lord Jesus, He started the work, He starts this in you, will perform it, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's thus saith the Lord. Now, I want to read this from the Amplified Bible because it's really clear. I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that He hath begun a good work in you. He started to call you. You started to get convicted. You want to live right. You don't want to be immoral. You don't want to do those things that are wrong. We'll continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of His return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to do it right until the coming of the Lord. He's still going to keep you there. Developing that good work and perfecting it and bringing it to a full completion in you. Glory. Isn't that wonderful? We don't just come to church. We want God to do some surgery on us. We want Him to operate on us. Cut out that heart that stinks. You know that little video we had about the doctor? We'll show it sometimes. Really good. He started cutting out the bad heart, and the man said, "Whoa, that's a terrible smell." He said, "That's all your sin. It's got to go. I'm going to give you a new heart and a new mind. God's going to renew our mind, renew our desires, get rid of these things that are wrong. I want full surgery. Hallelujah. I want to be cut out of me. I want God to do it. And He will do it. And He's going to keep me right up to the day of His return." We just read that in Philippians 1:6. So how is this powerful testimony revealed? It started by God, rich in goodness and grace, coming to you. We said the other day, it's by the goodness of God that He leadeth you to repentance. God puts a conviction in your heart and you repent of your sin. That's the goodness of God, but He's just starting the work. And He'll bring you right through and cut out that junk in your life. No, brothers, not in your life, in our life, in my life. I want all junk cut out of me. Who wants that? I can't put that in you, but God can. The Holy Spirit can put that desire in you. Really mean it. You want junk cut out. Clean the heart up. And only He can do it. He leads us to repentance, forgiving us, transforming us into His likeness. Oh, man, that's so wonderful. You know, I love that testimony when they saw the fishermen who couldn't even hardly sign their own name. But they had an anointing on them, and the wisdom of God was on the disciples. And they perceived that these boys had been with Jesus. When you get with Christ and He comes and He cleans you up and gets all that stuff out of you, you start to look like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ. It's not the church. It's Almighty God, the Spirit of the living God that makes you a new creature. You're born again of a new spirit and a new desire. Hallelujah. So when that comes, it begins to manifest on the outside. This is the powerful testimony. Not that you raise the dead and heal the sick. Those things are very wonderful. But I want something that's going to affect other people. Lasting. It's a life-changing experience. You know, when I was with that sister, she was just so Christ-like. I just wanted to be around her. You ever had that said to you? I know people said that about you. You may not hear about it, but brother and sister, it's true. They begin the fruits that he said that will remain begin to manifest on the outside of your life, you branches, all of us. It's him doing it. It's all the Lord Jesus doing it. Hallelujah. I want him to store God, change me, make me over in you. Prune me, Lord, cut off those terrible branches that are causing problems. They know there's something different in you, people see. They actually read, and you can see that they can see that you're being with Jesus. So people are reading you. You're a book. You're an epistle, seen and read of all men. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. God, brother and sister, the people are reading you at work. They're reading you wherever you go downtown, whoever you meet at the shop, they read you. Take my word for it. They are reading you. They know whether you're real or false. They do. They can tell whether you're putting it on. Oh, I'm a Christian. And then the next day acting like the world. I don't want that sort of experience. I want Christ to be living in me. Christ living in me. Christ living in me. Who wants that experience? So there it is. The Bible says, we'll be read of all men. All men will read you, not just Christians. People at work, people wherever they are reading you. They're watching your reaction. Somebody tells a smutty joke. They want to see if a little smirk comes on your face. Oh, I didn't think they'd do that. They see it. We're not playing church, brethren. God's coming for a church that's sanctified and clean. People want all the joy and the jumping and singing, and so do I. It's got to be backed up by a good life. They often say, don't jump. Hallelujah! Don't jump any higher than you live. That's right. Don't jump any higher than you live. You can jump, but how's your life during the week? Very powerful testimony. Tells people. Jesus said it, all men shall know that you are my disciples. In John 13:35, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you carry a Bible and you go to church every Sunday. No. Or you could open the scriptures and you could preach like thunder. Or you are a wonderful teacher and all those things. He didn't say that. You might be able to, but that's not what he said the identification is. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. They'll all know when you have love one to another. That's the identification. If you can't love your brother or sister, if you can't love the sinner that needs salvation, then you need to check your testimony. I want a powerful testimony that the love of God oozes out of me. I cannot help it. Who wants that experience? We don't want to just be, oh, we go to church, we got a revelation of the word, we know it all. Oh, hold on. Jesus never said anything about that. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This is the identification that you love, godly love one another. If there's no love manifesting, cast a shadow on over a testimony. There's no love manifesting in us. It casts a shadow over our testimony. We do not bring forth sweet and bitter water at the same time. Jesus said that. People think that, you know, you can have one minute you're sweet, next minute you're bitter. That's not what I want. I want God to take me down to that altar and send the fire of God down and burn all bitterness out of my heart, anything that's displeasing to him. Lord, rip it out of me, Lord. I don't want it. Who's feeling that way? You know, when we go up, we're going to be clean, washed in the blood of Jesus. Our lives testifying to the power, life-changing power of Jesus Christ. So I think it's so wonderful. Jesus has ordained that our fruit should remain. Not apples one day, no apples the next. So it's the most powerful testimony comes to us. Direct from the heart of God to our heart. Let's read this scripture here. In John 14:16. And I'll pray the Father, Jesus, this is what he's praying, that he shall give you another comforter. That he may abide with you in church. Forever, brother. That's right, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't want it. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. So I don't want to just come to church to find the Lord here. Well, I hope he is. But it's not coming to church to get the Lord. I want to take him away with me from church. And wherever I go, he's pounding in my heart the love of God and the love for souls and desiring for people to come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know this is the truth I'm telling you? This is what Jesus said. So wonderful. Pray the Father, he shall give you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They don't even know who he is. The only way they can know him is when they see him in you. And they say, hey, I want what you have. How many testimonies have said, I want what you have? But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's your song, Brother Lee. No, never alone. There it comes from. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Blessed be his holy name. What a wonderful Savior we have. And this is the powerful testimony that he abides in us. I love it too, brother. It's wonderful. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have the Holy Ghost. Listen, brother, it's not a Holy Ghost. Oh, that's something the church talks about. It's an experience, a supernatural experience, and God comes in you. And if you hunger for it and you thirst for it, God will fill you. He promised if you repent of your sins and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall, not maybe, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want more of it. I'm not happy. I want more. Who wants more of the Lord? If you want more of the Lord, why don't you stand to your feet for a moment? Thank you, Lord. The most powerful testimony is Christ living in you. Not preaching, living it. Now, preaching comes a part of it, sure. And we need to be witnesses and testimonies. God's dealing with us. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost has been given to the church. Lord, we don't want to be a religious bunch of people. Lord, we want to be saints of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. God teaching us what to do and when to do it. Anointing us, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord, that hour is late. We see the world situation deteriorating daily, but Lord, we want to be so filled that when you come, we'll go with you. Hallelujah. Because you'll be in us. You are our resurrection power living in us. Lord, may you bless each one here. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. You are so wonderful. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We give glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our soul. We love you and we want to serve you in a better way, in a more effective way. We want that testimony to be powerful, Lord. That witness to be powerful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, you will do it. And we're asking for you to do it to every person here. In Jesus' name. All things are different now. It's different. Happened to me when he gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. Must be. Your heart to the world and to Christ. You've got to make up your mind. He's a jealous God. His name is Jealous, the Bible says so. And he doesn't want you flirting with the world and claiming to be a lover of him. If you're a bride of Christ, you'll love him right. And I believe you do love him. I love him. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. Let's sing again. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be. Gave my heart. Oh, this is wonderful. Who loves him? Hey. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more and come to stay. Things I love different now. Something happened that day when I gave my heart. Maybe brothers and sisters here that feel a bit bad. You say, brother, how those things were touching me pretty strongly. I know I need to straighten up. He will help you. If you really mean it, he will help you. You cannot do it by yourself. It takes the Spirit of God. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He will change you and give you a hunger for him and a thirst for him. Anybody desiring prayers, you sing this once more, feel free to come. And God will bless you. And you know, brother and sister, I just want to press into God here. I want to have the fellowship to be a new fellowship. I want to see a greater anointing, a greater worship, a greater sincerity, a greater separation unto God. Who believes that? Say amen. And that God will bring souls in here to be saved and filled with the Spirit of God. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, when I gave my heart. Things I love. Brother and sister, God speaking to your heart. You need to do something about it. You really do. You've got to say, Lord, I want all of it. Now, I can't change you. I cannot put that desire in you. Only God can do that. But tell you what, I want all of it. I want all of his nature. I want all of the fruits. I want everything God has for us. And I'm ready to divorce and want to divorce everything that's not of God. So just sing the things I love before I passed away. And anyone who wants to come, you just come now. Brother Lee or Brother Tim, one of you.
I'd come here.
Things that are before have passed away. Things I love that are have come to stay. Things I love now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to
Thee. Amen. That was the truth, the truth, the truth. I've heard that preached a number of times, and Howard was one of them. Do you know one word I never heard, because I've just come in late for other reasons? And the word is God given to you, and that word is desire.
Hallelujah.
You've got a desire to want to go with the Lord. Now, when you feel that desire, that is the Lord telling you. You can't come to the Lord except He calls you. And when you feel that desire to do right, that desire to meet Him, that desire to love other people, that's the Lord. If some people don't know it, that's the truth. Let's sing one here I was going looking at. Let not your heart be troubled, number 28. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Think about the words that you sing. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father. Felt a desire to be better with the Lord? It's not because you're going to do it, but because you want to. You've got a desire to do it. It's a God-given call. And it's not only the people in the auditorium, but those on the internet as well, wherever they are. If you feel you should do something about Jesus, do it. Let's sing it again and think about the words we sing. Let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, I've many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come. Name of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you from our heart. We thank you for the desire to want to be right with you, Lord. And you are coming again very soon. Very soon you're coming. And you're going to take your sons and daughters. We love you, Lord. Help those that get that desire to do something about it before it's too late. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for making us aware that you're there for us. Thank you, Lord, for changing us, for that fruit to come on the branches. We are the branches, Lord. May it come forth. Lord, bless your holy, holy name. Lord, we just thank you for the luncheon we're about to have, Lord, and the fellowship. Thank you for the meeting this afternoon. Thank you for being at the prayer meeting. Lord, just touch our hearts about that prayer meeting. It's so, so important. Lord, people need prayer. Either we're giving the prayer or we're receiving the prayer. But God is the operator, the power, the everything behind it. Cause us to know, Lord, that if we want to be blessed, we need to enter in. Help us, Lord, I pray. Bless these people, Lord. Bless those on the internet at this time of closing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've got a nice one to sing that we can go. What's it? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought when Jesus came into my heart. Testimony. Brother Tatu's got a testimony once.
2 weeks ago, I just heard Pastor speaking, and he was just going like this. You have not, because you have not, because you ask not. And that just hit me right in the dong. I said, glory, Jesus. So, but now, by the grace of God, born again.
Amen. The change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Light in my soul, so long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, praise the Lord, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy are my soul, like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy of my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, there's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. gates of the city beyond I can see since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy of my soul like the sea. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as long would I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy are my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. May the Lord bless you.